Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. Reading about the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul makes me wonder at times how he got the strength to continue on, considering the enormous and varied amount of opposition which he faced. And we're all pretty well familiar with the opposition that he had from Jews who hated him because he preached Christ, Jesus, as the Christ, the promised Messiah, and those who weren't willing to accept Jesus as the Messiah resented him saying so and resented his pulling people away from the Jewish faith, the traditional Jewish faith that they represented, and causing them, by the work of the Spirit of God, but by his ministry of proclamation, to believe that Jesus was their promised Messiah. They resented that highly, and so they persecuted him intently, as you know. And he had opposition oftentimes from civil authorities, sometimes stirred up by the Jewish opposition, but nevertheless, he often had to deal with imprisonments of various kinds. And then he had other obstacles to face, not the least of which were the incredible rigors of his travels and the obstacles that he faced in traveling and in being accosted by robbers. He makes allusions to that. We don't know too many details. And the fact that he had a number of shipwrecks, we only have one of them that's recorded in detail in the Scriptures, but he makes it clear that there were others as well. And on it goes. But probably the most heart-wrenching obstacles that he faced was from other Christians. Not from the Jews, not from the Gentile civil authorities, not from robbers, not from hardships and rigors of travel, but from Christians or professing Christians, and sometimes it's hard to tell which is which, only God can see the heart, but Christians who criticized him, who questioned him, who raised doubts about his ministry. You almost think that Paul would just say, I quit. I can't put up with this. I'm tired of it. I quit. Just let me get someplace where I get away from all of this. But no, Paul remained faithful to the very end. May God give us that same spirit. Well, thank you for joining me on this Friday, September 30. And thank you for remembering that we depend upon financial support from listeners like you, and we hope that God might lead you to be one of those supporters. Would you pray about that? Would you consider it? In 2 Corinthians 3:1, we find Paul dealing with some of these criticisms and questions coming from believers in the church at Corinth when he writes to that church and says, do we begin again to commend ourselves? Do we need to start a defense of our ministry, to defend our apostolic assignment, to prove to you in close detail how it was that we came to become an apostle of Christ and what are the evidences that we are a genuine apostle of Christ and so forth? Do we need to do that? Do I need to do that? I've done it before. Do I need to do it again? Oh, please. Do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or, the verse goes on, do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? Other traveling preachers, not known to the churches to where they were traveling, would bring letters of recommendation. Here's a letter from the church at Jerusalem, signed by James and signed by other leaders there, that commends me as an authorized preacher of the gospel from them to you. Here's my credentials. Please allow me to come and to minister to your congregation. That was common. That was needed. That was welcomed. But to insinuate that the Apostle Paul needed that? He who had demonstrated the authenticity of his apostleship by a faithful ministry among them that had brought many of them to a saving knowledge of Christ, maybe nearly all of them who were saved brought to that conversion by the ministry of the Apostle Paul, and a church was founded by the Apostle Paul. There would be no church in Corinth if it hadn't been for Paul's ministry. Isn't that evidence enough that he's an authentic apostle of Jesus Christ? Is he going to need to present some letters of commendation, some kind of human credentials to convince them that he is an authentic apostle and an authentic minister of Jesus Christ? Surely not. But his authenticity was being questioned, and it raises the whole issue of human endorsement and where is the place for that, and where is it needed, and where is it not needed, and how valuable is it, and how can it be misused, and all of these questions that are raised. But Paul gives, in verses 2 and 3, an answer to his own question and offers the best credentials of his authenticity, which are not letters of commendation, but are living born-again believers who have come to faith in Christ through his ministry. That's the evidence. That shows that he's an authentic apostle of Jesus Christ. That is the living letter of commendation. Verse 2, you are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. A living epistle. The Corinthian believers themselves, to whom Paul is writing, and some of whom were raising these questions, were the best evidence of Paul's ministry by their conversion, by their transformed lives, by the establishment of their church, which authenticity was known to Paul and to his team and was a great encouragement to them, but maybe more to the point here, was also known by many others. Here's the evidence of Paul's authenticity. This is better than a letter written with ink on paper. Here is evidence of the power of the Holy Spirit working through the ministry of the Apostle Paul to effect eternal results. These are epistles that are open to examination. Unlike the letters of recommendation that sometimes were brought by false teachers, that, in some cases, apparently, were forgeries. And if the letter came from Jerusalem and it was a forged letter with forged signatures, how would you check that out? How could you examine that letter to determine whether it was a counterfeit or it was genuine? It would be nearly impossible to do so. To do so would require basically sending to Jerusalem to ask, did you issue a letter of recommendation for this person and name the person? It would take a little while to get that information. But Paul says, I can do better than that. You are our epistles. Right? You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Your conversion, your salvation, your transformation out of darkness into light, out of paganism, worshiping many gods in heathen temples, to renouncing all that and worshiping now only the true and living God as being a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're leaving your immoral pagan lifestyle behind and living now a life of holiness before the Lord and following the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ and following our example in Christian living. That's the best epistle. How do you explain that? Now, the truth of the matter is that the false teachers, and apparently there were false teachers who claimed that they were genuine apostles and that Paul wasn't, which, of course, was the exact reverse of the truth. They were liars. They were not apostles, and Paul was. But they were claiming that they were and that Paul wasn't, or at least that Paul wasn't, and therefore they had equal credentials to him because he wasn't a true apostle of Jesus Christ. But it's interesting, I don't know of any churches founded by anyone else in Corinth except Paul, do you? There aren't any. I can't point to any conversions of Gentiles out of heathen paganism under the ministry of anyone except Paul and those who traveled with him, these false teachers claiming to be messengers of Christ, had no transformed lives to show as evidence for God's sanction of approval upon their ministry, no churches which they had founded. They were trying to build a ministry off of the fruit of the labors of the Apostle Paul by seducing members of the Corinthian church into their body. Why don't you leave the Christians alone and go out into the streets of Corinth and preach your message to the worshippers of pagan gods and see them converted from their paganism to your message and build your own work and demonstrate the power of God on your life. Demonstrate that God works through you. Demonstrate that the message you preach is the power of God unto salvation. Demonstrate that God has enabled you to plant churches. But there's no evidence that anybody else except Paul and those who traveled with him had done any of that in the city of Corinth, that anybody else had preached to the transformation of pagan idolaters into worshipers of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And nobody else had established a church laid upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. So there's the evidence. Not epistles written with ink on parchment or papyrus, but epistles written by the Spirit of the living God upon hearts. Genuine converts who belong to Christ and show it, who are guided by messengers of Christ, who were produced by the work of the Holy Spirit through the ministry of the Apostle Paul, who are evidencing new life, heart devotion, not external religion. No better evidence than that. No better credentials than that. Do we begin again to commend to ourselves? Do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you or letters of commendation from you? You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. You are an epistle of Christ. And that is Paul's evidence of authenticity. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.